realize you're. I remember when I first was like, I don't know if I can have the equipment to just take a call on Skype and blah, 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 but it worked out so easy.
Yeah, I just haven't used Skype in a minute.
I know, right? I totally empathize and I'm so grateful you're giving me your time. We'll hop right into this here, but real quick, will you pronounce your first and last name for me just so I don't butcher it?
It's all good. So the first name is Farbod, and then the last name is S. Nashari.
S. Nashari. Okay, perfect. All right,
Yeah.
wonderful. And you work during the day too, right? What do you do for your 9 to 5?
I have a bunch of jobs. So, like, I have a 9 to 5 where I do, like, social media management for, it's like Hulu, but of Asian content. And so I
Oh,
built
okay.
their social from, like, 30K to 2.5 million
Can you
on
help me build my
Facebook.
social?
Yeah, I can try. And then, like, I have the Clipper job, and then I also have ESPN reporting for WWE.
Oh
And
my
then,
gosh.
like, I also have ESPN research, and then also, like, help random people with PR and stuff. So, like, I'll, like, plug celebrities into deals or help events find celebrities and stuff.
Oh, I love that. And you know what? Like that those skill sets are like the most valuable things to have in your tool belt right now. So I'm sure you're just going to be booking jobs to the left and right.
Yeah, I'm kind of at this weird spot right now where like my foot is in way too many doors and I just need to like pick one and make real money off of it.
Well, the cool thing is that like once you do pick one, the skills you've built in the other fields are going to manifest themselves at some point down the line. You know, whether it's writing or PR or social media management, like all those things are related and will just make you a multifaceted tool.
Yeah, they're not too far off from each other.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. All right. Sorry to keep you. We'll just dive right in. Were you at exit interviews?
Unfortunately not. I wanted to,
Okay.
but I couldn't.
Okay, me neither. We'll just completely avoid the details of that and the minutiae of
Yeah,
that
I don't think like I looked at the interviews and like it wasn't that important compared like the end of the season, like when they got eliminated, were
Yeah.
essentially exit interviews. Just Gallinari was a part of the exit interview.
Okay, got it, got it. Perfect. All right, wonderful. All right, we will dive right in here. And in 3, 2. Hello and welcome to the first ever postseason edition, the off-season edition of the Clippers Beat podcast. It's your host, Nikki K, and I have the pleasure of welcoming in Farbod S. Nashari today, who covers the Clippers for SB Nation. He's a man of many talents, but we're tapping into his Clipper savviness for this particular podcast. Farbod, how you doing?
I'm very good now that you got the name right in the first try. So we're off
Woohoo!
to a good start.
Wonderful. Well, Farbod, tell me a little bit about what this season on the Clippers beat has been like for you.
Honestly, it's been a very it was an interesting season, but it was a very fun season where, in the beginning, it was the expectations were so low. Like the expectations for everything were so low. And I know even amongst a lot of the writers, there was like a legitimate thought, like, oh, maybe they could go 0 for 8 when they start the season. And so that's how low the expectations were. So just like
Wow.
each month, I mean, especially because the start of their season, it was like Houston, OKC, OKC,
Oh.
Denver. Like, it was a bunch of heavy hitters.
Yeah.
But then by some miracle chance, like Houston was missing CP because he punched Rondo. And then Houston was missing Harden the second time. And then, once October rolled around, we're like, oh, it's a pretty decent start. And then once November hit, we're like, oh, wait a minute, this team might be for real. And
Yeah,
then so it became one of those things where we didn't know what to expect at all going into the season, but it was just fun. It wasn't like the CP years where it was on the CP years, it was like you guys need to win every game because you need top two seeding because you need that like going into the playoffs and the team's expected to win. This team didn't have any expectations. So it was like, let's just see what happens if we get the 8 seed. And that was like, it was all just a lot of let's just see what happens. And whatever happens, it's like a win-win.
It's crazy how much joy comes with a lack of expectations, right? And I have to say, from someone who grew up a Lakers fan and, kind of always turning my nose up at the thought of the Clippers, this team has been such a a joy and a treat. And I did you feel that same kind of euphoria covering a bunch of scrappy, gritty underdogs?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could feel it in the locker room too, because there were so many moments where Beverly and Tobias would just go on a riff together, and it just was fun to be around. The atmosphere was always just like, let's just do our best and make other people feel us, and let's get it done. And so it was just, I mean, it's hard to explain, but it was, there were so many years of looking like the players didn't have fun during the Chris Paul years, where this year it just looked like they had fun on the court.
Do you think, and I guess forecasting and looking into the future of what this franchise hopes to accomplish, and a big piece of that is aligning itself for one, if not two, big time free agents, do you think that could potentially upset the dynamic of such a fun locker room?
I mean, one free agent, I don't think so. And I think they're going to be smart about who they pick. And Patrick Beverley actually mentioned in his exit interview, he's like, I don't want to call shots, but like guys like Jimmy Butler aren't the type of guys who should, like, that's not what we're looking for. And he specifically name-dropped Jimmy Butler.
Wow.
He accompanied it with the words, like, I'm not trying to, you know, give shots, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think the team's going to try to get, like, a disruptor in the locker room chemistry, because if anything, you would have thought when Tobias got traded mid-season with Boban, like, that would have really disrupted the entire chemistry, especially because Tobias and Boban were such key parts in that. And the fact that that did it, and the people who they got, like JaMychal, Garrett Temple, Zubac, it was a bunch of guys who are only going to help. So I think they're going to look for a superstar with a good attitude.
And or a non-attitude like Kawhi Leonard, right? Like,
I mean, he fits in perfectly with them, to be honest.
Exactly. A non-factor in any sort of ego. All right. So I'm going to give you a little visualization exercise here. You are in the room with Steve Ballmer, Doc Rivers, and Jerry West, and you're putting together the PowerPoint for potential free agents. First of all, how are you setting up your free agent meetings? Give me your top three meetings you're setting up. And then give me the order of the PowerPoint. What slide is going first? And what's the most compelling arguments as to why someone should come join this franchise?
I think for the players that they want to get, I think Kawhi should be number one, especially because he's literally a free agent.
Yeah.
And then KD should be number two. And then obviously you have guys like Kyrie and Kemba, like tier three. Kyrie could be a guy that might disrupt the chemistry, especially given how that Celtics season went this year. In terms of like the PowerPoint on what they'd be offering, obviously there's the LA thing. That's always going to be there. But the other type of thing that they could put up is just that team itself. I think you could argue about the team itself, because everyone is really young. There aren't that many big contracts. You can get a team that's already in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you also have the opportunity to help rookies, mentor some of those young rookies like Shea, and actually be a part of their growth. And there's just a special, in the same way that, like, if you got a championship with the Knicks, you'd be remembered, you know, forever. If you're the first person to help bring a championship to the Clippers, like, that's also its own thing. Not as big as bringing a championship to the Knicks, but it's just, that's something that'll be remembered forever, that you're the guy who helped bring a championship to the other LA team that nobody talked about. That's going to make that team be talked about forever.
Spot on. And in essence, it's, you know, the LA lifestyle, the winning culture, and the young core. I am completely in agreement with you there. And then you add on, you know, you sweeten the deal with a coach like Doc Rivers, management and a front office run by Steve Ballmer. And it's just, it's like the Clippers have really done everything right. And I don't know if you've noticed, but seeing Jerry West around in the home playoff games, there's like a twinkle in his eyes, because he knows he's kind of done something special, especially in the shadow of the train wreck Lakers right now.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's almost like the complete opposite of everything the Lakers have done.
Yes, yes. I get okay. So looking forward to this summer, the you know Clippers hungrily eyeing the free agent class of 2019. But let's take a little look at the young core and what would you like to see from each guy in terms of what they could maybe work on at summer league or come back with an added tool in their belt as the offseason is officially underway.
I think with Shai, Doc mentioned it during the exit speech, like right after they got eliminated. He told him to get some weights and start putting on some muscle during the offseason. I think if Shai can put on some muscle during the offseason and really just exert his will over certain other players, like how Giannis is doing now, that would be pretty big. Honestly, if he can maybe develop a little bit more of a passing game too.
Yeah.
Because for the Clippers, like they had such a weird situation where they were a top five offensive team, but like a bottom 20 passing team.
Yes.
And then in the playoffs against the Warriors, that started getting exposed because their offense just wasn't very good except for like two games.
Yeah.
And that's because nobody really moves the ball on that team. For Landry, I know he wants to work on the ball stuff. Like he's good off the ball, mm-hmm. but a player like him, you could see it in the playoffs. Like they weren't going to let him do his usual thing.
Yeah.
He barely got a shot off. I mean, I think he maybe even got like 15 shots off the entire playoffs. So if he can start figuring out a way to, when he has the ball, to get his way around the rim with that, that'll be big because he'll become more than just like JJ Redick. He can do more with the ball.
That I agree with you. And then, okay, so what about, do you think, what odds would you give, or do you know if Zoo's coming back to summer league? I know he's been there for a couple of seasons now.
That I'm not sure about. And I mean, Zoo is on his contract year, so we're not even sure if he's going to come back to the team. But for him, like he just needs to figure out how to finish harder.
Yeah, just work on that. And that's like the perennial project for a big, right? Like just have a little bit more aggression down low.
Yeah. And I remember hearing, I don't know if it affected him by the end of the season, but I remember hearing that like he had injuries to both of his hands.
Oh, okay.
And that was why he was so soft at moments. But I'm not sure if that was fully the case by the end of the year. But I know like in March, April, that was a thing.
Looking at, you know, the question mark surrounding the roster next year, Patrick Beverley, what odds do you give to him being back in a Clippers uniform?
I think, it's tough for him because I think the odds are pretty high. But if somebody pays him a lot of money, like, it's going to be tough to keep him because the Clippers have had a plan for two to three years now of what they want to do this offseason. Like, everything's for this offseason. Like, the Night King and, like, Game of Thrones, or everything's for that one moment. Like, everything has been for this offseason. So if somebody throws, a screw in the wrench and gives Bev, like, $15, $20 million.
Oh, man.
I don't think he's going to come back.
Yeah, and you can't blame him for that either.
Yeah, otherwise I think he comes back just because he's such an integral part of everything for them.
Yeah.
And, like, he has such a good dynamic with everybody there. I could see him maybe taking, like, a Lou Williams-esque deal if he really wants to stay in L.A. and be with that young core.
It's interesting just because, like, having come from Oklahoma City where he's, like, public enemy number one, having him on this team and seeing the fire starter he is in this locker room, you can't help but root for the guy. He's so great. And I mean, whether he takes that big money deal, if it comes to him, or chooses to stay, I think it's a win-win in the eyes of what he's been able to accomplish for himself this season.
Yeah. And it was a little bit different this season than when he was on the Rockets. Cause on the Rockets, I felt like he was just a piece. James Harden was always the focal point, or Dwight Howard was the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Clippers, like, he's the focal point. The camera is on him when the team wins. the camera's on him backstage when the team wins. He's on the podium after the team it wins a game in the playoffs. They use him as a spokesman during the playbook speeches with Jerry West and Lawrence Frank. Like, he's really, all eyes are on him with this team.
That's so true. Okay, so I guess in that sense, I want to do some Clippers yearbook superlatives for you as we kind of close this season. Put you on the spot here. Wait, did you win a best anything in high school? Like, biggest smile, biggest class.
I don't think we had that in my high school. Or I can't remember if we had that in my high school. I had, like, a really, like, low-key high school. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I was biggest teacher's pet, which isn't really the most flattering one. But, you know, it's like, what the people put you as. And it's, like, it's funny, but it's a little bit disrespectful at the same time. Like, rude, you know?
You're to make that category.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to just throw some categories out here with you. You've been covering the team all season. I was a late ad, so I'm going to trust your judgment on these. And we'll have to keep them in mind. But, okay, let's go ahead and start out with best dressed.
Oh, Shay. Oh, well, no. Shay or Trez. I'm going to go with Trez.
Trez? Okay, switching it up. Are you talking about his shoes in this one?
His shoes and just a lot of, like, there would be a lot of shirts he would wear where I was like, that's dope. And there's just so many different times where I was like, that's a cool outfit.
I love it, too, because he has the input on designing his own shoes, right? And he rocks so many different cool graphic patterns, right?
Yeah, and he takes the longest to get ready because he does so much to get ready. It's like he's always the last interview because of how long it takes to get ready.
Effort level 100. And you know what? Shay's a rookie, so he's got some time to climb up in the ranks here.
Yeah, Shay would be number two for sure.
Okay. So then next up, let's go with best sense of humor or biggest class clown.
I think, you know, at the start of the season, I would have said Boban, but Boban's no longer there. So out of the new guys.
Yeah.
I'll go with Bev.
Okay. We'll give Boban an honorary shout out here. Cause I just love the, like, good nature in which the franchise and him parted ways.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of just being, I feel like Clippers fans still have a big love for him in that sense.
I mean, he's probably the most unanimously liked player in the NBA. Like, I don't think anybody hates Boban. He's like Tom Hanks. Like, if you hate Boban, you're just kind of like a jerk.
Yeah, so who are you? So can we give him best dance moves too?
Yeah, you'll give it to him.
Okay. All right, let's see. We'll go with most likely to succeed, most likely to be an all-star.
Most likely to... So those two separate things or what?
No. Well, I'll say the most likely to succeed, which is like the classic yearbook one, but we'll parlay that into all-star for NBA terms.
So most likely to be an all-star. You know, I'm going to say, yeah, it's going to have to be Shay.
Yeah.
The weird thing about the NBA is, like, if you've been in the league long enough, they kind of typecast you and don't give you the all-star. So if Lou was, like, 4 years younger, he would have gone the all-star for what he did this year. But because he's coming off the bench and he's not 4 years younger, that's why he didn't get it. So you'd have to go with Shay.
Isn't that crazy? Because it's like with the Lou Williams thing, it's like, you know, at what point do you, I mean, I know he is a sixth man, that's his role, but it's like at what point do you just start recognizing him as a great player and not just, and I know defense factors into that, but like, just because you come off the bench, it shouldn't typecast you into a role that doesn't allow you to be, you know, recognized as something greater than that.
I think it's solely just because he comes off the bench. It's just really hard off the bench. I remember somebody else during All-Star Weekend. Oh, because my entire MO when I was at All-Star Weekend was I was interviewing everybody and all the players, saying like, how do you get Lou on the All-Star? And like LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, everybody was like, it's just hard off the bench. They just won't give you that, you know, clout. They won't let you have it off the bench. Even though he closes the games and plays more minutes, it's just one of those weird things.
That is a weird thing. And you know what I loved about him too is that he talked about, like, at first he resented it, that now he embraces it and kind of loves it. So I think if anyone can learn how to be a walking bucket and have that sort of ego where you take pride in being that, I guess, secondary figure, then all the more power to you.
But back to the original question, I think if Shea could jump to like 25 points a game, you know, by his third year or something like that, then he would be an all-star.
Yeah. And he's, I mean, he's got the physical profile to be something great too. So I'm with you on that one. Okay. Let's see if I can think of some other good. Okay. We did. What about best laugh? Who has the best laugh in the locker room?
Best laugh. I'm trying to even remember who else. Honestly, it might have been Bev. His little pro. I don't know if you saw the interview he did when the Clippers got eliminated. Him and Lou were laughing during a lot of it, and I just thought
funny.
Yeah, that was like the funniest interview I've ever seen, and I think Bev's laugh was pretty good during that whole time.
For that interview alone, he deserves that award.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, so what about best celebration dance? I thought Trez had a really underrated shimmy.
Trez's is good. It's funny. That was a whole topic of conversation amongst all the players.
Uh-huh.
Like everybody was bagging on Lou Williams for how bad his celebration was for his buzzer beater.
Oh,
Trez
my gosh.
Gave it like a three. Uh-huh. And it was like what we interviewed everybody in the locker room. And then Bev did one where I think Bev's probably got the best one where he pretended to throw dice on the floor. And he started pretending like he was like playing dice. And we asked Trez, like, what's that one? He's like, that's a nine. He's like, that's a really good one. So I'll have to give that to Bev again, too.
Okay, Bev just raking it in. All right, and then final one. Let's do biggest coach's pet or biggest teacher's pet.
Biggest teacher's pet. See, that's tough. Because everybody on that team just
loves Doc.
Yeah, and they're all like they're literally all there to play.
Yeah.
And Doc always calls them the most easily coached team he's ever had. So you might have to give it to the whole team, to be honest.
Okay. And you know, let's just give Doc an honorary coach of the year because like I know he's not gonna win it this season, but I really think that you can argue this is one of the best coaching jobs he's done in you know, obviously.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably go to like Budenholzer.
Yeah.
But if it didn't go to Budenholzer, then I could see it going to Doc. But that's it. Like those are the only two candidates off the top of my head where I'm like, you have to give it to them.
I am 100% in agreement with you. Now, Farbod, I cannot thank you enough for hopping on and taking the time to talk Clips today. Now, I know you are, you know, dipping your pen and writing about more than just basketball. But if people want to find your work, where can they follow you and where can they read what you put together?
So on Twitter, you can follow me at Farbod_E. And then on Instagram, there's like a reporter Instagram account I have, and that one's The Daily Clip.
Oh, The Daily Clip. I love that. That's got some good meaning to it. No, I love your work, and you've got the legendary video of Boban dancing to God's plan, and that's all we need in life. So first of all, thank you for that. But most of all, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on today. Really appreciate it. And we'll have to have you on throughout the rest of the summer. But once again, thanks for listening to another episode of the Clippers Beat podcast. And you can find this pod wherever you get your pods from or clnsmedia.com.
Thank you. On a side note, the Boban stuff was so funny because like when that happened, like I'm assuming this isn't on the podcast.
Yeah.